You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I know you'll be alright, even when times get hard and you feel like you're in the dark. You will see just how beautiful life can be when you soften your heart. You can finally start to live your truth. Life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Truthiest Life. It's your host, Lisa Haim. And in today's episode, I'm going to be giving you a behind the scenes into the Meetreat, the wellness retreat, for lack of a better word, that I hosted in Guatemala. I'm going to be sharing everything that went into it, everything that went wrong, everything that I learned, and a lot of what transpired within this magical container that I in no way could have seen coming at me. I want to take a second to just say thank you for listening to the past few episodes in May, where I featured other people's content that has shifted and inspired me and educated me along the way. It was really a chaotic month of coming off of Soli's hospitalization, the Meetreat planning, and then going into my husband's 40th birthday. And with all of that, I did not feel like I could give you what I promise on this podcast. So I came up with a really great idea to feature content that deserves more ears. If you haven't gone back to listen, the last three episodes from this month feature incredible healing modalities and just really enriching conversations with people that have changed my own life. So thank you for listening to that. I'm sitting down to record this episode 2 weeks after returning from the Meetreat. And I know that most people probably coming off of it would ride the high of views on social media and listeners and all of that that come with getting content out quickly. But I do not operate at robotic speed. And so it has truly taken this long to even partially digest everything that transpired and come back to my body. If you followed along on social media, you may have picked up on the fact that this was not exactly a restorative retreat. It was not just action-packed, but also semi-natural disaster-packed and filled with evacuation plans and nervous system upregulation. But it was also filled with soul-enriching magic that is really hard to put into words. And I think that's been the hardest part of coming home, not having the words when people ask, how was the retreat or how was the Meetreat? Really being able to share what transpired, not just because it was sacred, but because I don't think there's an English word for the type of connection that we quickly cultivated. And this breakthrough that we all went through together. And if that sounds absolutely wild and not tangible, I apologize. And, you know, it was one of those like you had to be there thing. But there are so many aspects of this trip that I think are worth sharing and lessons that I learned and clarity that I found that I am going to do my best to share the parts that pertain to me. Like I said, this was a deeply confidential, for lack of a better word, a lot of the things that went on for people, the conversations that were had, the breakthroughs, the tears, the laughter. So I will not be sharing anything participant related, but I will be sharing things that went on for me personally. So in case you're new to the entire concept of the Me Treat, I created the Me Treat after going on my own. After becoming a mother for about a year, I found myself deeply confused, very influenced by noise, my head very hazy, brain fog, and like, who am I and what do I do other than mother and carry intense weight on my shoulders? Like, if I'm just going to intensely mother, can I do it with lightness and freeness? I had none of that. And I knew that I was in a place of, I need to find myself. So I went to look for a wellness retreat that spoke to me, somewhere that I could quickly and easily go to. That means one flight for me. Somewhere that has all the healing modalities that I was after. I wanted to do a lot of different things in a short amount of time, and also the short amount of time aspect. I didn't want to be gone for 7 days. And when I started to look up retreats, it was like everything that I found was like a week long, didn't have a lot planned on the schedule. It'd be like yoga twice a day, lots of free time to explore the places where they are, which has a purpose and there's a time and place for those types of retreats. But I wasn't finding what I wanted in any of these experiences. When I looked into like wellness-esque hotels, kind of the same thing. Not a ton of offerings, maybe, you know, one movement class per day, expensive massages. And again, it wasn't like the brain-body connection that I was looking for. And I knew I'd be spending like a lot of money to do these things. And I wasn't sure I was going to get out of it what I needed. So I ended up going to Florida, specifically Delray Beach, which is kind of hilarious because it is known for its strip malls. Like, it's not an incredibly, I don't know the right word here, but culturally diverse, enriching place typically. But I chose Delray because it's in Florida. And Florida, I do have a bunch of healing modalities that I do call on, whether that's yoga or myofascial work with Craig. I tried something called Watsu. I've talked about these things before, but anyway, I chose Florida because I could have a car there. I could go to all these places and kind of like piecemeal my own Me Treat. I also chose it because my best friend in the entire world, who her and her wife live in London, were there for the time being. And I was dying to see them. We had just gone through the pandemic. And like, these are like my soul sisters. And they're not just like regular friends where we drink and party and go out to dinner. Like, even if we were to drink and party and go out to dinner, our conversations would be so deeply meaningful. But I did have hesitations of going there and being with them because I knew that I really needed my alone time. But what I found leaving that trip was that they actually served as perfect mirrors for me to more clearly see myself. And they happen to be people that are so space holding and such a container. But in our couple of days together, even though I was kind of, you know, doing my own Me Treat stuff and they were doing their own, whenever we came together, I found such clarity and answers that I was looking for that I realized, wait, maybe like a retreat or retreat, there's power in the people that you're there with, not just isolation and quiet time alone. In fact, I will actually argue that if you are in any sort of like difficult stage of your life, too much alone time can be harmful. Obviously, it is necessary, but I do remember after a breakup about a decade ago, going to Costa Rica alone, which I'm so proud of myself for doing and think it's so important to travel alone and do all those things alone. But I remember feeling like having really hard moments alone, and you kind of get yourself into these brain caves where it's dark and you don't know your way out. And having someone there to pull you out can be really helpful. So that was a huge shocker to me. when I came home from the meat treat, it's actually kind of funny because I don't remember any of this, but I have a journal that I use during the meat treat, my own personal, and afterwards. And if I look back at everything that I said during that time and after, like, I had such clarity. And as days passed, I forgot about it. But when I revisit those pages, I'm like, yes, that's who I am. That's what I want to do. That's my truth. And that really illuminated to me the importance of journaling, if it wasn't already illuminated to me, because all of the answers are inside of us, but they're stuck there. So how do we get them out? But when I look back at that journal, one of the things that I said, interestingly enough, was I want to host retreats. And I write a lot in the journal, and a lot doesn't see the light of day. But when I saw that I wrote that, I was like, wow, it's really incredible that I did this, because it wasn't like, okay, I wrote it in my journal, now I'm going to come up with a plan. I actually don't even remember how the conversation got started with Christina, who works with me to help me with this podcast, who lives in Guatemala. But somehow around November or so, we started talking about hosting a retreat there. And next thing I knew, we were in planning mode, and we were deep in planning mode, and I was excited, and we were pulling things together. We advertised the meat treat as an intensive introspective immersion, and it truly was. The quote that I put on t-shirts was, "Evolution is easy. It's the refusal to do so that's hard." Or evolucion, as we gave bracelets to everybody, is easy. It's the refusal to do so is hard. And this is a post-it that I have had written, a note to self, since I was pregnant. And yet I need to revisit it like time and time again, because I truly do believe this. I believe that evolving and becoming who we are next, or the version of ourselves that we are next, or the version of ourselves that's buried deep within, is actually easy. But it's our refusal, our resistance, our fear to do so that's been really, really hard. And that's kind of the theme of the meat treat. It is about evolution. It's about so much more, but it's about really becoming who you already are that is hidden and buried within. So I just want to be super clear that, like, my purpose in creating this retreat is not about like this future version of self that we are creating. It's about tapping into who we already are. And those answers are within us, whether we are journaling or we are just sitting in a puddle of, I don't know what to do with my life, which, you know, anybody listening at this point probably feels a level of that. And if you don't, good for you for being in your stage of your era of certainty. But it really is hard to tap into our truthiest selves. And I really wanted to provide a container where we could get in touch with that truth. Like I said, I've been sitting on this experience for 2 weeks trying to digest how to explain it. And I wish that I had a word for what transpired, but truly there is not one in the English language. I apologize to my retreaters, meat treaters who need a retreat, because it was not restorative by any means, but it was soul enriching in the deepest level. Before I go further, I just want to give a big thank you to my team who totally rose to the occasion. I'm going to share everything that happened, but they worked meticulously to not only get us to safety with a plan B, which was beautiful, incredible, and wowed the meat treaters, but also found two incredible houses in Colonial Antigua that were like mind-blowingly beautiful. And I know that the meat treat's success was largely in part of this huge pivot. Taking us back to the process of planning this. Back in January, I did a site visit. So before I launched anything about the meat treat, I was like, I need to go see Guatemala. I need to see these houses for myself. I need to understand how far things are from the airport. And it was a really important meeting to go to. And I remember sitting down at Christina's table. I stayed with her family for a night. And her family, all her sisters and their significant others and her dad were at the table, and they were like, who is going to come to this retreat? Like, who's coming? What type of people? Where are they from? And I remember being like, I have absolutely no idea. And I just want to also share that I didn't know if anybody was going to sign up. Like, And I know that from the outside looking in, it's like you see me as this social media personality with followers. So like, of course, you should sell out or whatever. But I've never done this before. I'm taking people to Guatemala. It's an interesting experience the way it is. It's not a hotel room. It's houses. It's all these things. And I truly didn't know if we were going to fill the spaces. And turns out we more than filled the spaces when, well, sort of. We had applications because of the nature of having houses, wanted people to really understand what they were signing up for. We wanted to make sure that we could provide a safe container for anybody that was going through something. And if they were going through something too big, you know, if they weren't the right fit, I'm all about emotional safety and making sure that I was cultivating the right people who would be fantastic on this trip and not endanger them in any way. But it included foreign travel, a non-English speaking country. And honestly, every application was incredible and I could see every single person on the meet treat. So within 24 hours, we actually closed the applications because I didn't want to have to say no to more people. And this wasn't a thing of yes, the more the merrier, because we only had two houses and intimacy was part of this. And logistically, it would be much harder as we continued to add more people, from food to travel to all of that. And one thing about me is that I make everything 10 times harder for myself. It's part of my learning process. I don't follow blueprints or easier ways to do things, although maybe I should. But I actually think that all the ways that I made this harder for myself and my team actually contributed to the magic. You know, I did it in a foreign country. I did it in a non-speaking English country. I did it using two houses versus being contained in one, an hour and a half from the airport, not using a hotel. Whereas a lot of the times I see retreats being offered and they're within hotels that regularly host retreats. So the food is taken care of. The rooms are taken care of. You know, all you have to do is basically bring the people and one source of activity. If you're a yoga teacher, you're teaching yoga twice a day, you know, whatever it is. But everything else is like largely taken care of. Not that it's ever easy, but nothing about this was easy. You know, I wanted to provide airport transportation for every guest so that once they paid for their ticket and they arrived in Guatemala, like they were captured and brought to us. And so there was so much logistics to this, but I know that it created the container that led to this community that I think that like if we had hotel rooms just wouldn't be possible. It's this like public space feeling during downtime that actually I think led to this word that I don't have a word for. And when people ask me, would you do it differently? I rarely answer that question as a yes. And I think that this is no exception. Yes, the planning was infinitely harder, but I think the yield, what I got out of it, what we got out of it, was also infinitely better. So I'm going to share some of my most favorite standout parts. I'm going to share the things that went wrong before and during, and I'm going to share some of the activities that we had planned and what they ended up feeling like in my body. And I'm going to share what really worked, like what I think really made this so special that it's continuing to be something. We are still talking to each other daily. We are still sharing breakthroughs, inspirations, asking questions, leaning on each other. And we only spent 3+ days together. And then I'm going to share my lessons from the entire thing.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Okay, so I'm going to start by sharing my most favorite standout parts, and I would be amiss to not give a huge round of applause to my team's ability to pivot and pivot quickly and swiftly. I will share the details of that when we talk about the volcanic eruption and the evacuation. The things that went wrong ended up being the things that went right. More on that in a bit. There was no clickiness. We were 24 women in total, including staff. And there was never a moment that there was like a group over here and somebody isolated over there. Every time I looked around at the different tables during meals, without having to force anybody to sit next to each other, it was like new group, new groups, new groups. And I just thought that that was awesome and something that you really don't see a lot with big groups. I think that clickiness almost is normal in many situations simply because of how personalities attract to each other. I think that because the focus of the meet treat was more about self, each time somebody sat with somebody new, they saw a different reflection of themselves. And whether they were consciously choosing to mix it up each time or not, the benefit of that was there. And I do think subconsciously there was some steering into making choices where to sit each time. I loved how the women gave each other great advice without any hangups or disclaimers. Things like, I don't want to be mean, but like weren't said. If somebody shared something, somebody was like, yo, straight up, I think that's a bad idea. And it actually took me back for a moment because I guess there's a little bit of like cushioning that I, in the last couple of years, put into advice giving to, I don't know, not be so intense about my thoughts or feelings. But the truth is, I do have really good instincts. I do have thoughts and feelings and advice for people. And the cushioning doesn't usually actually do anything. But when I saw one woman give this advice to another about somebody, her dating situation, I was like, wow, like, it is beautiful to see a friendship that straight up. And it's not bossy, like, don't do this. But it was more like the person who was giving the advice was acting as the higher self to the person that needed it. And the receptivity of the person who needed it, I think, really showcased that beautiful interaction. Because she wasn't like, you don't know me. You know, she was like, wow, okay, I see what you're saying now. And that was just one of those moments that was just awesome for me. The joy that was included in this retreat. There was a lot of crying and there was a lot of hard moments. There's not a person in the world, but of course, on this retreat that hasn't gone through something huge in their life. And working through that with stillness is inevitably going to happen. I knew that it would. And I expected tears. But what I did not expect was the joy. We had so much fun and we connected with our like inner little girls that are just playful and silly. And there's probably a better word for joy when it's like oozing out of you and it's contagious and you allow it to be that. Like that's what we experienced. I'll share a little tidbit about that as we move along into this as well. And then there was insane honesty in the processing of experiences and our internal experiences. After either meditation, somatic breath work, yoga, we often came together to debrief. And again, I can't share the contents of things that were shared, but it was like nobody was holding back and nobody was like, oh, I know this is weird, but it was just like straight up, this is where my mind went during this. And of course, the rest of us were like, oh my God, me too. But we would have never said it if it wasn't for that one person to be a thought leader and open the conversation. And I thought that that was awesome because so often we have thoughts, feelings, emotions that are actually very primal and normal, but they are not societally normal or appreciated. So we contain them and we bury them and we try not to have them. There's a lot of shame associated with having urges, for lack of a better word, and having one person kind of open the door and be like, this is what I was feeling, really, I think, allowed all of us to not just crack up because we've never heard somebody say that before, but it also allowed us to lean into our own sense of self. All right, now I'm going to move into things that went wrong. Leading up to this retreat, it seemed like everything was just starting to fall apart. I really wanted to capture this experience in a way that felt organic, but at the same time, I knew having a photographer, videographer, content creator, somebody outside of the group would disrupt the container that I was trying to create. It's a really fine line of creating a safe place and then also capturing it. In my day-to-day life, I struggle with that all of the time because I could showcase so much of the things that I do, but if I had my camera out to do it, it changes how I'm doing it and my thought process, and it doesn't allow me to fully tap in. So I knew that having like a content creator and treating this like an event just didn't feel right to me. But I also really wanted to capture the experience, give these women photos of themselves. You know, the documentation helps you to relive it. And I also knew that I would want to share parts of it on social and have it for myself as well. But I didn't want to be on my phone the entire time. So I was just on the hunt for who is the perfect person to help me create this. So I put on my Instagram story, like, do I know anybody that, you know, takes photos, but also like really would want to come on the retreat and the me-treat? And I remember getting one response from my friend Tana, who's like, I think this is me, question mark. And the second I saw Tana respond, I was like, oh my God, of course. Tana is a friend of mine from social media. She was on Outweigh, the podcast I host with Amy, talking about her experience with body image and being a YouTuber. And I absolutely love Tana. And the second she said that, I was like, yes, it's you. So we got her on board. We got her flight. And the idea was that she was going to experience it, but also like be behind the scenes capturing pictures, but being mindful of like certain experiences. And then also I wanted her to fully be immersed in some things and not be like, quote unquote, working. So we just arranged our own, you know, schedule of things that she would be fully immersed in so that she would be a me-treater, but specific things that I wanted to get captured. So we were like all set to go. And then about 2 weeks before, she realized that her passport expired. We had already booked her flight and everything. And at this point, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just... I actually never even got upset about it because I knew that things leading up to the moment would fall apart. And this was one of them that I didn't see coming. But okay, worst case, we don't have a content creator. Not the end of the world. Lose some money, whatever. If anybody is looking to plan a me-treat, the way we did it, you know, anyway, isn't a huge moneymaker because, like I said, all the things that I put into it to make it unique. So at this point, this was heart work. Like, this was soul-enriching work that I wanted to create. It was not for the money. And that was good because it allowed me to continue to just, like, stay on track for what this was about. Anyway, long story short, I just was like, okay, if we lose her, we lose her. She worked really hard to go to the passport store and ended up 2 days before getting a new passport. So she ended up coming, which was great. And I kind of thought that this was like our big thing that fell apart right before, but you know, we got it together. About a week before, I sent an email to the me-treaters telling them, you know, preparing them for the trip of everything that they would need and a packing list and everything. And I also included a note about things going wrong. Bringing 20 plus people to a country on different flights, I knew that there would be flight delays, maybe suitcase losses, all of that. And I wanted to prep people to know that that's coming so that when it does, you know, they're not as bummed or afraid or frustrated. And I think that's actually like the magic of traveling, is that things go wrong, and especially in non-familiar places, like you have to pivot with what is, and there isn't a lot of room for safety. You're thrown out of the nest, and what happens next is often part of the magic. With our team meetings, we had them weekly leading up to the going to Guatemala. I also said the same thing to them. We all put tremendous work into them, and I just wanted them to know that if and when something goes wrong with the plan or anything like that, you know, it's okay. It's part of it. And I was also telling myself that too, because so much of all of my energy went into birthing this Mitreed. So the lesson was really there for all of us. And then 48 hours before, I lost my co-host to a family emergency back at home, who under no circumstances could make it given everything that was going on with her. This was a catastrophic loss 48 hours before. The way I set up the Mitreed, having two houses, was I wanted a host in each house, and I was not willing to not have that. I think having a point person is just really important, kind of like a hotel concierge, somebody that if something goes wrong in the middle of the night, you know, there's somebody leading the ship. I was in a separate villa, so I needed somebody to fill that spot as well. This was 48 hours notice, and my brain was like, oh my gosh, exploding, but also understanding, you know, exactly what my friend had to go through. But I was freaking out. I was really freaking out. We ended up getting Mariella, who is Christina's sister, who I know, who ended up being absolutely incredible. And Mariella jumped on 48 hours notice and filled the spot. But with that came my first opportunity to grieve, bringing my best friend as the other co-host, somebody who's incredibly special to me, who I knew would bring a level of introspection and mirroring to the whole group, was something that I had envisioned for so long. And not having her there was a huge hit emotionally, and also just hard to envision. You know, with just 48 hours, a critical team member was replaced. And that was really, really, really hard to deal with. And I was very happy when Mariella stepped in, and I'm still very thankful. And it ended up being an even better blessing when I get to the universe always has your back. We'll get to that in a second. But that was like, we saw a lot of things coming and we didn't see this. But then came the bigger, bigger, bigger unexpected happening.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I am somebody that when providing a service, I am detail-oriented like crazy. And really, very few other places of my life do I become this focused. But I truly feel when somebody has invested their, whether it be their time, their energy, or their money with me, I have to make it impeccable and perfect and give it my all. Perfect is kind of a strange word there, but I strive to make it the best offering service possible. And this meet treat was no exception. When I showed Tracy, the yoga teacher that I brought on board for this, the schedule, she was like, wow, this is ambitious. That was her word, because every hour it was something else and every detail was accounted for. We had a 50-page run of show. Keep in mind, we are not event planners, but now we might as well be, where we had every single detail ranging from a person's food allergies to what room they were in, their emergency contact, to every detail. I have it right here, actually. I'll just open up a random page. Our internal schedule, our outward-facing schedule, emergency protocols. I mean, detail departure times, arrival times, who's going to clean up, who's going to set up. All of this was just in this beautiful spiral-bound book that we created. And this was going to be Bible. I looked at it the day before the retreat, the meet-treat, and I was like, this is Bible. Like, we all know this really well, but everything we need is in here, okay? I themed each day of the event. So the first day I called Erupt. The second day I called Evolve. And the third day I called Emerge. And I created this months and months ago to bring to life the concepts that I experienced on my own meet-treat. I called the first day Erupt because oftentimes when we settle into stillness and we start to do the work, there is an eruption. There is parts of us that start to unravel, and it's not fun. There's that collision inside of us, and there's that breaking point, and there's also that release. But it's messy and it's ugly, and sometimes we don't feel well from it. There can be headaches, there can be stomach aches, there can be all of that. And so Erupt was really meant to signify what's going to happen. On top of that, we were, you know, had views of volcanoes. So I thought Erupt was the perfect word to describe what's going to happen, you know, inside of us. Little did I know that my mind is so powerful. Second day was about evolving and exploring and, you know, being open-minded to new things, trying new flavors of food, and really doing a lot of curiosity and question asking. And then the third day was about emerging. How are we going to embody everything that we've let go of and made room for and who we've become as we emerge back into the world? So as we set forth to our action-packed day one called Erupt, the volcano also decided to erupt. Now, volcanoes erupt all of the time, or active volcanoes, I should say, erupt all of the time. So, you know, the day before I did see the volcano and it was kind of like, you know, releasing some of whatever goes on inside a volcano. And every 15 minutes ago, you'd see the gases release, and it was beautiful. And when I woke up the next morning, I noticed that it was erupting and quite bigger than I had seen it before. But the house that we rented included staff that are regularly at this house. And it's kind of like when you're on an airplane and you're kind of, you know, looking at the flight attendants to see, are they nervous when things are going wrong? Like, they were super chill. You know, Christina lives in Guatemala. So the first thing I did was ask her, like, is this cool? And she's like, yes, I think it is. But I'm going to, you know, check with the owners of the house. The place that we were staying was a gated community, and start to do, you know, make sure that everything was really good. And she didn't have fear in her face either. So we continued to roll through with it as the volcano is erupting. It was beautiful. It was energetic. It was magnificent. And at the same time, it was really, really, really powerful. So day one started with 5x5 mindful morning method, something I lead, and then into a yoga flow that I also was going to lead. I did lead it for an hour, which again, the theme was all about the volcano erupting. I had zero idea that it would actually be erupting behind me and the magnitude that it was, but wow, it did. As I'm teaching yoga, I had an hour and a half planned, and about an hour in, the volcano's erupting behind me. Christina comes over to me, taps me on the shoulder, and she goes, we need to evacuate, put them into Shavasana, and come to the side. So my brain froze. I quickly tap Tracy, the other yoga teacher, and I go, can you lead for 1 second? I come to the side. Tracy and Christina tells me that out of an abundance of caution, we do need to evacuate. That is the rules of where we are staying. And it's no longer a question, but something we are going to do. I quickly walk back over to everybody doing yoga, tell Tracy to stop, and I tell them that out of an abundance of caution, we are going to evacuate, go back to your rooms, grab your passports and anything you need, and we're going to hit the road. This is where Mariella came in clutch. She was the extra car that allowed for all of us to quickly get out. And it was in this exact moment that the light bulb went off for me, and I was like, oh, that's why my best friend couldn't come. That catastrophe just 48 hours ago makes so much sense right now. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God. Like, trust. When in moments that you cannot trust, just trust, because universe is a sly guy. And I mean, Mariella being the other car that we needed for that safe evacuation, just mind blowing. So we ended up evacuating to a place just 7 minutes away. And it was somewhere that I actually visited when I came with Christina to visit Guatemala. So I had been to this place before. It's absolutely beautiful. It's like winery, restaurant, views of volcano non-erupting. Then interestingly, it was very close by. So it was just simply where our house was situated in relationship to the volcano is what was making it potentially dangerous. So our plan was to move over there, get people fed, and see what sort of activities we could redo there as we evaluated the situation. As the day went on, we could hear the volcano continuing to erupt, and we had to make some choices. Where are we going to sleep if we can't get back to the houses that night? So during lunch, my team was working and found two incredible houses in Colonial Antigua, which is absolutely beautiful. And as beautiful as they were, I really didn't want to go there because I planned this whole retreat at these two houses. And, you know, again, it was out of an abundance of caution that we evacuated. And if they allowed us back in, a part of me wanted to go, but a part of me also wanted to take no chances with a volcano that I know nothing about. And ultimately, as the day progressed, it was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, we had to make some choices. And I decided that the best call was going to be going to Colonial Antigua for at least the next 24 hours and evaluating in the morning. Like I said, this volcanic eruption was very different than the normal, where it just, you know, releases its gases and moves on. This was a true, big, huge eruption. So we went to Colonial Antigua and we resettled in these magnificent houses, and we went out to dinner that night, whoever wanted to come out to dinner. And again, like, I had a chef that I brought to the meat treat, and all that just went out the window for the entire day as we ate at restaurants and people are eating French fries and steak, and no problem with those foods, but just a stark contrast to what I had prepared and had in mind for everything we'd be eating at the house. And I couldn't help but just laugh. By the time we got to dinner, we were just giddy. It was like being with your best friends that you hadn't seen in a while. And we had the best time at dinner that night. And it was just one of those moments that I was like, wow, this group is incredible. They are incredible energy. They are pivoting so well. And everything is not going exactly how it's meant to at all, but it's exactly what we all needed. And I think that this change of plans really stripped us all of the veils of like who we may have been pretending to be very quickly. Suddenly we were authentically ourselves, and it expedited the process so quickly of getting to know each other. The car ride from, you know, where we were staying to Colonial Antigua alone, like the conversations that were being had, nothing was surface. And so very quickly we learned the layers of each person in a way that was so unforced. One of the things that I was actually worried about would be like any awkward conversations. And so each day I had planned to put people in assigned random seating for breakfast and give them some prompts to and questions to ask each other. That never happened because we never needed it. People were constantly mixing up where to sit. They were having these intense conversations with each other without any sort of prompting. And it was absolutely beautiful to step back and witness. And when we woke up the next day in Colonial Antigua, we had gotten the amazing news that the volcano had stopped erupting and we were safe to go back. I wasn't sure if people would still want to go back, but they were actually eager to go back. And I felt that it was safe enough to go back. You know, this was kind of like a once in every, I don't know, 5-10 years type of a situation. And the houses were unharmed. But like I said, out of an abundance of caution, we did move away from the active volcano for the time being. So we went back later in the day, but we continued to piecemeal together what we had planned. Of course, day one got completely wiped out. Not completely wiped out. Again, we did the best we could while being in a different location, and it ended up working out beautifully. While at the restaurant where we kind of hung out for most of day one, we had a beautiful sacred circle time where everybody picked out conversation starters, as I called them. They were these prompts that I had prepared for people to use during breakfast time to get to know each other, or during off time to use to journal. I have the bag right here, so I'll just reach in and give you an example of one. And the activity was, you reach in for the bag and you read the question and you answer it yourself, or you take a moment to journal it first. And as the question is asked, not only is the person reading it to think about it for themselves and share, but everybody else has their journal in front of them and they're too to answer it. And this was a beautiful ceremony. And at the end of it, we put these Evolucion handmade bracelets on everybody. And it was just like actually the perfect way to kick things off, although not at all part of the plan. Actually, the perfect way to kick things off is what we started with. When we got to the restaurant, instead of being so like heavy and healing, I was like, they need some lightness right now. And we all went around and shared our hidden talents. And again, it was light, it was jovial, it was a fun way to learn about people without making it too deep or forced right away when what we needed was a little levity. Okay, anyway, so these prompts, I came up with over 100 prompts that were just like flowing out of me before the retreat, and we got them laminated. And anyway, here's one question that I just randomly pulled out of the bag. Which relationships in your life are a source of constant stress or triggers? How do you handle being around those people? Do you have boundaries? Do you have action plans to support you when you're in contact? And so that person who picked that question randomly would have to answer that question, or we gave everybody the opportunity, if you don't like the question, to do one switcheroo. Not one person did a switcheroo. Okay, here's just another random one. When you think about your throat chakra, do you imagine it open or closed? Are you able to speak your truth and express yourself? Why or why not? And it was just a beautiful opening ceremony with shares. That next day, we hung out in our beautiful home called, what was it called? We had two homes in Colonial Antigua. One was called Cookstall, and that one is like meant for Airbnb. So I'm just bringing it up. If you find yourself in Colonial Antigua or want to go with like 17 or 18 people, this house was insane. And the coolest part is that Colonial Antigua is a city, but it's not like high-rise building. It's all very old and well-preserved, full of history and beauty and breathtaking attractions. So this house is just like hidden. It's just this regular blue door, and you open it up and you're in like Cribs, like MTV Cribs, like the most amazing house with incredible architecture, art, and it's just like the place that you want to vacation. So the vibes were so good and immaculate, and the house lended, I think, the perfect place for us to continue with as much as we could. So we had a fire ceremony with JJ, who's Christina's cousin, and he's this, I don't know what exactly he is, if he's technically a shaman or not, but he is awesome. And the second we sat in this fire ceremony, he set up this beautiful circle and gong and this whole thing that I'm describing absolutely terribly right now. But the second I sat down, I just, keep in mind, I'm in my pajamas because I have no clothes because we evacuated. So I'm in this ridiculous outfit. I packed for this retreat so many cool outfits that I thought I'd take cool pictures of. And here I am in my pajamas and some random hat that I found. It's just kind of a funny moment for me. But anyway, we sit in JJ's circle and I just start crying. I can't even explain it, but it was just one of those moments where stillness finds you after so much busyness and running around that we had did leading up to this moment. And it just hit me. It all hit me. JJ spoke beautifully about the actual volcanic eruption that occurred, and he made a beautiful metaphor about how this is symbolic within all of us. There are collisions happening within us all the time until we do explode and erupt. And we all have that point. He spoke about Mayan culture and really rooted us into the history of Guatemala respectfully, which I really appreciated and will continue to learn and explore. I'm very aware that the Guatemala that I showed to these women is not necessarily the true Guatemala. It's a third world country. It's also very culturally enriching. And if I were to go back there, I would hope to include more elements of that. And he spoke about our relationship to our mothers, like how our lives began in womb. And something about it really, really touched me. And, you know, it's not just about being a mother or having a mother. It's about all of that. It's about life where it starts. And it, of course, made me think about my own relationship with my mother and then my own relationship with my daughter. And it was just an incredible ceremony where we thought about what we wanted to release, wrote it down on paper, burned it, and hit the gong. And truly, what I wrote down on that paper, it's gone. It's burned to flames. And it was so cool to be part of that ceremony. And it was the one kind of question mark I had on my plan here, because this was Christina's cousin who she trusted, but it wasn't something that I got to try. Everything else I specifically tried out myself that they would experience. And this was kind of the one thing that I had an asterisk on, because I didn't know JJ. But I'm so glad I trusted Christina, because I think for many of us, it was a very eye-opening experience. It was grounding and it came at the absolute perfect time. And then it was time for somatic breathwork with Dhruva. I got to experience somatic breathwork when I visited with Dhruva, and it was a interesting experience. So I knew how to prep people for it and kind of what to expect out of it. But this time I had a completely different experience than my first time. So I just wanted to share what somatic breathwork is. And if you ever have the opportunity to try it, something that I very much recommend. So somatic work in general is a bottom-up approach rather than top-down. It's something that I think my therapist doesn't advertise herself as that, but looking back over the years of how she's worked with me to use my body as a better way to get in touch with my brain, I realized that has been hugely helpful. I've said it before on a podcast, but what always like stood out to me when working with her is, you know, she'd say, how does that make you feel? And I'd say, okay. And she'd be like, really? Because I see your leg bouncing up and down. And then I'd notice my leg bouncing up and down. And before I knew it, I was in tears realizing that I was not fine, or whatever we were talking about had struck a chord that my body had recognized, but my mind was denying. And so I think that was kind of my first taste of somatics. And yoga is such a somatic experience and has allowed me to get in touch with my body and its wisdom. So, you know, studying somatic yoga right now is also something that I'm very passionate about. But somatic breath work, according to this beautiful packet that Dhruva made for us, it is described as the breath is the quickest way to access the nervous system. In circumstances of high stress, the nervous system moves toward hyper or hypoactivation states. It gets intensely activated. This is where the fight flight response begins and the trauma process gets shut down. The activation state is actually a gateway to completing the trauma cycle. By utilizing a deep circular breathing pattern, we activate the sympathetic side of the nervous system and bring it towards that hyper-hypoactivation state. Combining this with neurolinguistic prompts around core emotional material, the mind and body are activated to release blocked energy. At various times, therapeutic touch may be used to help release physical holding of energy in the body. So basically, we are using breath work to activate ourselves and then come down for it. So it's a very intense process. And Dhruva does a great job of, first of all, asking people if they're comfortable with touch or not. And anybody who's not, you know, wouldn't be touched by him. And also describing the range of experiences that can happen during somatic breath work. During my first one, I didn't experience what I experienced the second time. But he had mentioned that your hands might kind of clench up, your heart might be racing, you might, like, you're going through the trauma kind of in your mind's eye, and there's very physical responses that may occur. That being said, my first time, I didn't experience anything too intense that frightened me. But during this time, I did actually get nervous and had to ask for help. But I started to notice tingling in my hands. And I can't tell you what my mind was circling on in that moment, but I was somewhere. I entered a new dimension during it, and my hands started tingling and tingling and tingling. And then it started to work me up into a nervous state. So I sat up, and we're encouraged to move during this. So I did. and just started like shaking my wrists out. And I remember one distinct thought that I had, which was I've now worked through in therapy, and I'm not going to share the working through part of it, but I just wanted to share something really weird that happened to me during that, which was I could not remember what my daughter looked like. It's like the weirdest thing. This is the face that I have looked at every day for the past almost 2 years. The face I should know best. And in my mind's eye, I couldn't picture it during the breath work. That's what was happening for me. And with that was coming like shame, confusion. What? Well, why is this happening? What does that mean? You know, all of that. And then the panic was starting to come in because my hands were doing this crazy tingling, which I didn't experience the first time. And I just started moving my body. I asked Dhruva for a little bit of help. You know, he kind of let me know I was okay and I was working through it. And then the song changed and the prompt changed and the tingling was released and my breath just started to change and I was like free. So there was this like intense rise and wave, and then there was release on the other side. And while everybody lied down and continued to go through their breath work, one woman was crying into a pillow. Other people were curled up into a ball. I just got up and I started dancing. The music was moving through me. It wasn't a choice to move. It was just like my body was moving. And I was dancing around the room over people. And in that moment, I looked around. And I kid you not, our group, we had entered a different dimension. Like we were no longer here on planet Earth. We had moved, or we were on Earth, but so we were somewhere else, and I had never seen anything as beautiful or significant in my entire life. One of the women was pregnant on the retreat, so she did not do it. That is caution. It's one of those things you have to ask your doctor. And she said she watched us for just a moment, like she came into the room and she was like, whoa, they are on something. And the coolest part is that we weren't on anything. We were just doing breath work. And to me, somebody who's very cautious of all things drugs, and a lot of, you know, the trends right now are about taking substances, natural or not, to, you know, get in touch with your truth. I think it's so cool that we can get there, albeit maybe not in the same way or maybe not as deep. I'm not sure because I've never done anything like that. But like breath is incredibly powerful. And as quick as we come in, we can come out, which for somebody like me who likes to know, like I can come out of this at any moment, feels like a much safer option to me than, you know, assisted type of thing. But it was just wild for me personally to go through an entire experience in my body, my nervous system, and then the other side experience such freedom, looseness in my joints, spaciousness in my body, and joy moving through me. Like it was just wild. Another woman had shared that she felt like she was in labor. Like these were experiences just because we altered our nervous system to work through trauma, you know, and each of us had our own uniquely different experience. But I could not believe how I felt when, first of all, the song changed and it was this song that I'm absolutely obsessed with. And I, going into the retreat, was playing over and over again. It goes, kura, kura, kura. Okay, anyway, you get it. And the second it came on, it felt like my invitation. Like, yes, I am free. I am here. This song sees me. This moment sees me. I am exactly where I need to be doing what I need to be doing. And I looked around the room to see if anybody needed, you know, support. And I provided that for those who needed. And I felt so in my element. I can't say enough amazing things about the breath work. It's just incredible. And Dhruva, who leads it, is also incredible. I'd love to actually have him on the podcast too, because his work is just absolutely beautiful. And his story himself is also really, really cool. And then we headed back to our house where we, again, continued to just like enter this new dimension. We had released so much and we were just overflowing with joy. I can't remember if it was the second night or the third night where we were, Tracy was leading yoga. I think it was that night after the breath work, and everybody was just cracking up. And, you know, yoga is often so serious. And I remember Tracy looked at me and she's like, should I continue? And I'm like, yeah, like people are happy to be here moving, but like laughing at the same time, being silly, but like respectful, you know? And it was just one of those moments where I was like, wow, like we all were coming to realize that healing and this work, often described on Instagram and elsewhere, like is so heavy and people get stuck with healing forever. But there is so much joy to it. There's so much joy in emotional processing, in connection. And the fact that our Mitri leaned heavily into that really reignites my love of health and wellness and these practices that are easily forgotten, like what they bring out of us. And Tracy, who I brought, it really should have been her retreat because she is just such a beautiful person. And she led majority of the yoga and chanting and educated us on so many different topics. But she is truly the joy. She brought so much joy into all of our lives by being herself and also being kind of like a motherly figure. She is older than I am. And the retreat ages range anywhere from like 40 plus to probably like mid-20s. But regardless, like I think someone can be a motherly figure regardless of their age. And with her, she just brings infinite wisdom about life and her experiences. And I would be amiss to not include how important Tracy is to me and on this retreat, how she showed up as a leader and helped us get to the places that created spaciousness in our body, which is the theme of this retreat. And Tracy's always talking about spaciousness, and it's such an important word, but also just such a light. And it's also kind of funny because, you know, I brought Tracy and obviously they're yoga instructors in Antigua, Guatemala, but I wanted to bring people that have been deeply healing to me and who I think are the real deal and that I know would be magical. And so when I brought Tracy, I remember telling Amaya, she's like, wow, you're a real fangirl. And I was like, I am. Like, this woman is magic. She has the voice of an angel. She plays the harmonium and her voice just radiates within you. It's just like magic. She is truly magic. And as soon as people experienced Tracy, they were like, okay, I see why you brought Tracy. I also want to share Tracy teaches at Yoga Shanti 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, I believe, online. And it's only $15 or $16 with tax. So if anybody's like, what is the magic that you're speaking of? Go check her out. She's absolutely incredible.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
On that third day, we did have a hike planned, and it was something that prior to the retreat, I asked people what they were excited about, and a lot of people were like, the hike, the hike, the hike. And all of a sudden, the hike didn't seem like that's what everybody wanted to do. Obviously, the plans had changed a lot in the last few days, so we had spent a lot more time in the car, not a lot of time in the houses. And when I asked everybody if they wanted to still do the hike, majority, pretty much everybody actually said no, or they didn't care. And I was like, really, really? And I was so attached to the hike because going in, I knew that people were so excited about it that I was not listening to the current needs. So we ended up canceling the hike. And again, it was one of those moments where I was like, you know, I had envisioned this playing out a certain way and it wasn't being that. And I was so eager to please what the participants said that they wanted, that I wasn't listening to their current needs. And once I leaned in and said, okay, we're going to cancel it and reshifted activities again, you know, it all made so much sense. We were able to fill in the gaps with things that we didn't get to do because of the planned change and volcanic eruption, of course. And it worked out just like beautiful. It was just flowing rather than the structure that I had planned in this 50-page document. And it's just like amazing. Just another continual practice in non-attachment and letting the vision become what it needs to be versus what I had planned and set in stone. I wanted to share, I think, one of the things that I did that worked that I didn't expect to have this type of effect. Leading up to this retreat, we had a WhatsApp group and we had one Zoom call where everybody got on actually and introduced themselves. And the Zoom call, I'd say, was nice because you got to see people's faces, but the WhatsApp group ended up really creating a baseline of energy and a tone. It set the tone. That's what it did. It set the tone for walking into this. I think that, you know, there was obviously nervousness, and we talked about that in the WhatsApp group leading up to this, like meeting people and the whole thing. But the WhatsApp group really colored the conversation. And it was interesting because I definitely had ideas of people based on how they participated in the WhatsApp group or how they didn't participate. You know, some people are natural talkers or texters, some people are not. And so I had specific ideas of how each person would be based on that. And not only were they so different, by the way, than their texting tone that I had interpreted, but everybody said that they felt a level of comfort walking into this because of it. And it was cool because conversation was always flowing, but not everybody was always part of it. And none of it, again, was like forced. It was just flowing conversation. And seeing the conversation continuing to evolve after the retreat is even more incredible because I think it really speaks to the connections and cultivations that we created with each other. I truly expected the retreat to be more me-focused than we, but it ended up being more we-focused than me. The friendship was a critical aspect here. And for me, the biggest takeaway of what I got out of it, I didn't expect to fall in love with 20 plus people, but I truly fell in love with 20 plus people. And like I said, you know, the purpose of the retreat was to be mirrors, but I didn't expect it to be as glaringly obvious of a mirror for each person. I shared that story earlier about one girl giving the other one dating advice and being very straight up about it. And witnessing in that moment, I really realized how important the we is in healing. And a lot of times processing is a solo adventure, and that makes it lonely. And it also, like I said, puts us in this dark hole. So the collective experience of this work was absolutely a necessity. And I think what really lended hand to it being such a joyful, fun experience. I also loved that there was like not a lot of like disclaimers or politeness, like just throughout the conversations, the conversations were stripped down to what needed to be said. And that was awesome without having to say, don't tell anybody or this might be weird, but just women showing up as their badass selves. I have never seen anything more beautiful, sexy in my life. It made me so proud to be a woman being with these women. Like, they inspire me so much. And it's funny because I led this, you know, retreat, and they all came to me, found me by way of social media. And so I wasn't expecting to get the return so hard, but each of them has actually changed my life. Like, I think differently about the past. I think differently about the present. I think differently about the future, my own capabilities, how I show up on social media is changing as we speak. And it was just complete surprise how much they would inspire me. They're such badass women. You are all of you listening, because I didn't get to meet you. Like, you are such badass women. It's incredible who you are. Thank you for being part of my community. I also want to say that on day three, I looked around and I saw everybody's faces, and every face that looked back at me looked different physically than the face that I saw reflected back at me just 2 days earlier. People's skin were glowing. Their eyes were whiter. The whites of their eyes were whiter. Visually, there was just a radiance pouring out of everybody. And recently in wellness online, I've been seeing that people are saying that when they started meditating and doing the inner work, they started appearing more visually beautiful. And that sounded like a bunch of BS to me. Like, how can meditating actually cause you to look different on the outside? I can definitely understand the internal benefits. You feel more relaxed, you have deeper clarity, but a physical appearance that looks different, that is a hard sell, even for me. But honestly, when I looked around, I don't know if it was that the faces were more relaxed or there was just joy pouring out of them, but something changed. And personally, for me, actually, after returning from the trip, I had two cystic pimples that I got during Soli's last hospitalization that were obviously from stress, and they were with me for a month leading up until this retreat. And when I got home, they finally released and cleared up. I had a sty also from the hospitalization that I went to a doctor for. He was like, nothing I can do, just, you know, wait it out. Nothing was moving. Suddenly the sty that I was nursing, completely gone. The body does hold on to stresses. And when we release it, when there's that internal shift, there's also a physical change. And that's not why we do it, but it's worth kind of bringing up because it's so fascinating how connected our insides are to our outsides and our outsides are to our insides. When it comes to dealing with things like acne, right, or styes, I went to doctors when I believe that my root causes were emotional to some degree. And not to say that there isn't a time and place to treat these things with doctors and medications, but I think you get my point that truly how we look on the outside is oftentimes a reflection of what we're holding on to on the inside. Okay, I'm going to finish off with the lessons that I learned. First lesson is that many, if not all, great things begin with destruction. Oof, that one hurts because you have to think about what is being destroyed in your life right now. And it's possible you don't see what's blooming because of it or being birthed because of it. But if I think back about everything in my life, my relationship with my husband, huge breakthroughs in myself, this retreat, like things, plans had to be destructed in order for the birth of this to come to be. And I just give you that to kind of munch on in your own brain and think about, because if you're in that phase of everything sucks right now and everything is not going to plan and everything is destroyed, just know that something greater is coming for you. And I don't say that to be toxically positive. I say it because I truly do believe that the universe protects us, but there is constant destruction that goes along with creation and new things. So stay alert. Next lesson is that people are more than post-its. What does this mean? So leading up to this retreat for the last couple of months, I've had every person's name, first name and last initial, posted in front of me on the wall behind my desk with where they're from, what they do, and maybe one other like fact about them that I pulled from their application because I was trying to get to know them and really start to envision how this retreat would be, putting, you know, separated people in house with their roommates and all of that. And, you know, I expected them to be just kind of their post-its. But what I found was that, oh my gosh, all of us are more than our post-its. We're more than our bios. We're more than our LinkedIn pages. The depths of these women that came are indescribable. I think that's actually been one of the hardest parts of coming back and sharing it with, you know, people that ask me how it was or Evan asking me the details. You know, I cannot describe these women, each of them so complex, multidimensional, and more than a post-it. Think about trying to describe your best friend, right? Like to the world, they might have brown hair. They might do X for work. They might, you know, be really good at something that makes them stand out. My best friend, Julie, she's a gymnast. She has dry humor. She's got brown hair, two kids, right? Like that's how I'd describe her to you. But underneath that iceberg, like actually in the ocean, is the parts of Julie that she's my friend since kindergarten. Like there's so much more to Julie than I could really ever explain to somebody. And the same thing with each of these women. You know, they had their age, where they're from, what they do, if they're a mother, if they're in a relationship, whatever, that stuff about them. But underneath, oh my gosh, is so much more. They're indescribable, each person indescribable, because they are complex, because we as women are complex. We handle so much. We do so much. We are so much. And I think that this is a lesson of life, right? Like, we walk by people and we meet people and we quickly categorize them into one way or another. But beneath that is so much more. People are so much more than we think. And I want to thank my Post-it people for being so much more and allowing me to see the parts of you and sharing it with me. And it is because of those depths of you that were exposed during the meet treat that I am truly different myself and looking out into the world differently and hopefully interacting with it in a much more understanding, compassionate way. Next lesson is that we are grieving all of the time. We have losses a million times a day, whether it's finishing a meal or saying goodbye to a friend. There are little closing moments throughout our day. But because we breeze through it, we're on autopilot, we're not mindful, you know, all of that, we don't recognize that these are opportunities to say goodbye and practice grieving on a small way. We will never have this moment back, right? I am grieving this moment. I will be grieving this moment in a moment because it is gone. It's past. This moment is gone. And if we practice grieving at the end of each day, at the end of each hour, at the end of each meal, at the end of each interaction, at the end of each time we get gas, like, I know it sounds silly, but if we are able to see that loss is happening all the time, I do think, and goodbyes are happening all the time, I think it allows us to handle the big grievances maybe a tad better, to recognize, hey, I've done this before. This is part of life. All beginnings have endings. But we act a little superhuman about everything and disconnected. And it's that connection that I think allows us to be more humble and be more fulfilled by our interactions and also understand what we're going through a little bit better. On that same topic of lessons is the practice of non-attachment. It's really everywhere. You know, that is a Buddhist, I believe. Yes, it's a Buddhist concept of non-attachment, and it's in Pema Chodron's book, When Things Fall Apart, one of my favorite books that I read over and over again, if you want to learn more about non-attachment. But it is about engaging in the world without fixation, without trying to hold on too tightly, without trying to achieve specific outcomes, because it's our attachment to things that create so much stress and suffering. And it's a constant practice of non-attachment because we do love things. We attach to things. That's what we as humans do. And it's a beautiful thing. But we must always also, I believe, be practicing non-attachment because things don't go wrong. We don't actually have control over things, even if we have perceived control over things. So I got a lot of practice in non-attachment in this retreat. And I think it was a good reminder of the control that I have and how big or really small I am in this giant world that has a much bigger mind of its own. Another lesson was about our visions. We're always envisioning things, whether it's our future birthday party or a girls' night we're going tonight or anything, right? Like, we're always envisioning what's coming next in our mind, or at least I do. Maybe I'm a visual person. If you don't, let me know. But we're always envisioning things to be. And the truth is, like, our visions never become reality, right? My wedding, right? I spent months and months envisioning what it would be like. And then it ended up having a life of its own that I couldn't have possibly envisioned. No matter how much time I went into planning it and, you know, being in the space and picking out the flowers, actually living in it is a completely different animal. A birthday party, you know, anything. It never actually looks like what we're going to be. And yet we don't think about that when we are thinking about the future and situations that we will be. But for me, I think it's really important that I walk away expecting deviation from a plan. Even if you plan something and you spend hours and hours into it, or it's just like what taking out the garbage is going to look like the next morning. In reality, it's going to always look different. So I think that it's important that we just realize that, because with that comes just a different expectation of outcomes, a different way of living. If we say, I'm still going to put all of this into it, but I know it's going to look different into reality. Or, okay, I'm going to envision myself going out with friends tonight, but I know that it's going to look differently. I think it just allows us to have a better scope on understanding of reality and helps us anticipate changes and deviations from the plan and recognize that our mind might feel very powerful, like it knows what's going on, but the universe is always shifting and making turns that we can't actually prepare for. A huge lesson for me is that I have an army. When I looked out into these 20 women who support me and believe in me and I don't know. I know that this is, you know, more of my own take home lesson here than something explainable. But when you sit here at a desk and I put out this podcast, you know, I don't know who's listening. Yes, I know there's a certain number and locations and everything, but with a podcast and social media, there isn't a lot of back and forth. I made the mistake, I think, a couple years ago of putting my guard up on social media. As you all know, it can be a really demonic place where people say awful things. And although the majority are kind messages and supportive people, one or two evil comments have thrown me off to the point where I put myself in a protective bubble. And with that, I armored up a little bit. And as I said in my journal once recently that I forgot that I said, armor is not usually protection, but instead just serves as a barrier to connect with people. And over the years, life has been mostly online for me and not a lot of in-person events and everything like that, I oftentimes feel like I'm not making an impact or I don't have a reason to do it. I think that podcasting is absolutely amazing, but it is really a huge challenge for me to feel connected because, like I said, it goes out into the universe. You listen whenever you can. I don't normally hear back from majority of listeners, and it feels like one way, you know, and I guess I do crave that fulfillment of seeing faces and hearing, you know, what works for you and what resonated or what doesn't. And again, just walking out into the room full of 20 people, knowing I have an army of at least 20 people that believe in me and are there truly there to support me or are inspired by me or something, just gives me fuel to step back out there again. And I really, really, really appreciate that. On that note, another thing that I learned is that I'm probably more inspired by my quote unquote followers, listeners, than I realized. I walked away from this retreat a different person. Two of the women are incredibly handy. One makes her own furniture. The other one grew up on a farm. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling like, oh, maybe I can lean into some of those skills. Maybe I can do some of that. Another woman, just going through a relationship breakup very publicly, actually, who is handling it in such a beautiful way that I've never seen done before. And all of them have inspired me and awoken me to my potential, both within my heart and what I can do with my actual hands. And that's something that I think I also haven't leaned in as heavily to. With this podcast, I always say I learn something from everybody that I have on. And it's kind of the same thing with the retreat. I have taken pieces of each of them and integrated them into me. And it's taken 2 weeks to even get on here and speak about it. And I hope I made some sort of sense. But truly, what they have given me, parts of them, is so magical and sacred that it's very hard to put into words. But my forever thanks and gratitude is within them trusting me for this experience. And my body and soul holds on so tightly to everything that each person provided to make this experience. I did not create the retreat in Guatemala. They created it. We cultivated it together. And what blossomed is not because of any of the work that I did, but because of how they showed up as their authentic selves. The question is, are they their authentic selves outside of the retreat cocoon? I would argue that going in, maybe not, but going out, definitely. A layer was stripped and there's no going back from where we came from. And then the last lesson that I learned, which is a little pat on the back for self, it is that I'm a boss. I lean away from that title or anything hierarchical related, especially because the truth is I don't run without my team. Amaya, you know that's the truth. And so that feels weird to be a boss of anybody. But when I witness what I created from my own needs, that makes me feel a little bit like a boss. And when I think to how I acted under a pressure and potentially dangerous situation, I acted cool, calm, collected, and like a boss. And maybe boss is the wrong word. I am a mother. What I came out of my own retreat with was I am a mother. And this was almost a year ago now. I am a mother. And what I need to do is activate my mothering skills elsewhere of just mothering my daughter. And that is what I hope to bring forth in the future, both on this podcast, on social media, in my home, and anywhere that I go. I'm not really a boss. That was kind of just a funny thing to say. But I am a mother. I know how to nurture. I know how to get us to safety. I know how to create environments where people can be their authentic selves. And that is what I'm most passionate about doing, creating. That is what healing means to me. So thank you for listening to this. And I know that the big question is, when's the next meat treat? And like I said, I'm still digesting this. I'm not a machine. I wish I could be and operate like that. But for right now, I'm still digesting what has occurred and really letting that sink into my heart and find a place to settle and live within me forever. This is the recap of the Meat Treat 2023 in Guatemala. I'll see all of you back here next week over at The Truthiest Life. Have a great week, everyone.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.